91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour begins with a return visit by David Lee Windicher, now a practicing criminal defense attorney. He was once an often arrested delinquent teen who led a North Miami gang. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman. With great resolve, David Windicher cleaned up his act, became an attorney, and then wrote a book about his transformation. Now his mission is to decrease offender recidivism and increase youth literacy. Also today, we learn more about this weekend's unique boating and beach bash for people with disabilities. It's a huge, fun-filled, and free event in Boca Raton. First, it's David Windicher in minutes on Topical Currents after the news. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. Our guest today is David Lee Windicher. He's a criminal defense attorney licensed to practice in both Georgia and Florida. He's the managing partner at the Windicher Law Firm and the founder of RED, Inc. It's an acronym for Rehabilitation Enables Dreams. However, this was not always the case in David's life. We had David on Topical Currents back in June of 2015 to discuss his then new book, The American Dream, His Story in the Making, a play on the word history. In his book, we learned about David's impoverished youth growing up in the streets of Miami surrounded by rampant crime and little opportunity. David chose a life of vice and violence out of desperation to feed his family of six. He was first arrested at age 11, and over the following 8 years, he was arrested 12 more times after he joined a gang, sold dope, and built and masterminded a crime ring. All that changed for David when he literally risked his life and the lives of his family to leave the gang and his life of violence and crime. He beat the self-imposed negative cycle of street life through sheer will and a commitment to be better. He vanquished self-doubt and conquered deep fears of fitting in at school to pursue an education. In 2005, David graduated summa cum laude from college and proceeded to graduate from John Marshall Law School in Atlanta. On May 25, 2014, David took the oath of attorney in the very same courtroom he had appeared 15 years earlier in handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit. David wrote his book to detail the challenges facing kids and teens growing up in poverty and in tough neighborhoods. His book is now required reading in Atlanta metro area court-ordered rehabilitation programs. It's a really long introduction, so we can dive right into where David Windicher is today, several months after the book was released, the amazing progress and innovations taking place. David Windicher, welcome back to Topical Currents.
Bonnie, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be back with you, and I'm grateful for everything that you've done. From the point when I was here initially, you've helped so much in trying to get the word out, and it's really helped us generate some interest from different people.
Well, it's our pleasure to do that. I mean, it's part of what we like to do on Topical Currents is to bring these issues to people's attention and to bring your story in particular. It was very important.
Absolutely, and I'm really grateful for it because, as you know, the statistics were against me, and I'm not the only one. I'm not one of a kind, so getting the word out there is extremely helpful to try to lend a hand and bring the next one up onto higher ground.
So let me ask you, we're going to talk all about what's going on in your life right now, but I have to ask you, we are just a few miles from where you grew up, the scene of the crime, so to speak. How does it feel to be here right now?
It's surreal looking back at my life and realizing that I used to traverse through these streets as a dope dealer and as a gangster, and I used to stack a set and get into tons of fights where now people look at me as someone that can educate people on their rights and help them and represent them in legal proceedings. And it's just a blessing. It's amazing. I'm getting a lot of love from some of the people I was acquainted to growing up. And it's just a blessing to be able to walk on these streets again, but with a whole nother set of skills.
So let's talk about your practice, which you're in the process of changing in many ways. You've changed your focus to more of the nonprofit work, and you're focusing more on kids of a certain age. Tell us about what you're doing now.
That's correct. Because of the things that have happened with the book, I have been shown tremendous favor. And so the phone rings, and that allows me to cherry pick my cases. And so because that is my case, what I try to focus on is allowing myself to put myself in a position where I am not just earning income, but I'm creating impact. I try to reach out and represent those who are between the ages of 15 and 25 that are charged with whatever it may be, and try to not only help them with the legal case, but also help them develop, curtail that behavior that got them arrested, help them stay out of the system. Obviously, it's not in my best interest from a business standpoint, but it's in my best interest to help them become the best version of themselves. So I'm trying to cherry pick cases that allow me to make an impact rather than just income.
And tell us how you not only represent them in whatever trouble they're in, but try to actually change the trajectory of their lives.
That's correct. A lot of the individuals that I'm representing, I can relate to. And back when I was making the mistakes that I was making, it was due to a lack of education. Literacy is truly the key. The more you read, the more that you understand things, the more you're privy to the situations around you, the more you're going to be a better decision maker. And the better decisions that you make, the better position you'll have in life. And so that's what I'm kind of doing. I'm helping them as a mentor, not just as a legal counsel.
And what is that like for you? Does that take a toll on you emotionally at times? Because that's a lot
it does.
Take on.
I can't save everybody. And I feel like I can. And sometimes when I don't come through the way that I think I want to, it hurts because it's always emotional. When I do the diversion programs and I talk to these kids, it's really emotional because I feel like I know them. Like I've seen their circumstances before and the people I walked with when I was a kid. And I know that they can be saved. But sometimes circumstances get the best of them. And it's unfortunate, but I'm still going to keep pushing because it doesn't matter to me if I can't save them all. As long as I can save one, that's what matters most.
From talking to you, and for those who haven't heard our original program from June 22nd, 2015, which of course you can listen to on the WLRN website, our listeners probably don't know that you're actually immigrant from South America. And a lot of the people you're working with are in that situation. Is that right?
Right. That's correct. A lot of the people come from the same type of background that I have. We can relate on lower socioeconomic status, on ethnic background, on various different things. So I do connect with a lot of people because we have some kind of common ground together.
So you mentioned the diversion programs. Let's talk about it. I first want to say that RED, as I explained, an acronym for Rehabilitation Enables Dreams, their mission is to decrease recidivism and increase literacy among America's youth. So you mentioned these diversion programs. What are they?
So it's RED has a two-prong approach. It's at the front end of the system for first-time offenders, and it's at the back end of the system for people who are incarcerated for extensive periods of time. On the front end of the system, the individuals who are faced with nonviolent charges and they can be rehabilitated with proper treatment, we run sort of a diagnostic on them by understanding their circumstances. Are they not high school graduates? Do they have a bad home background? Do they need help with some kind of resources to overcome whatever challenges they may be facing, and try to teach them how to stay out of the criminal justice system? Once that happens, whatever it is that they do, whether we teach them how to do balancing a checkbook, whether write a resume, get their GED, once all that's done and they comply with all the court's requirements, then we expunge their record. So that way, instead of having a record, they have an actual resume. They learn something. They got this life skill. They're now civically educated and they can go out. And instead of stealing, they go and try to get a job because we taught them how to do an interview, etc. On the back end of the system is the more important part because it's one of those situations where these people are transitioning back into the system. So what we do is we give the book as required reading through a creative writing program for the transitioning out of prison and into society.
The book meaning your book.
Correct, the autobiography. So they read that. And the reason that that's helpful is because if you see someone with 13 arrests and who's been incarcerated for 8 months and is now a dual licensed attorney, I hope that it fires them up. And that's what the whole project is, to inspire them to do well, teach them how to write better and get acclimated to society and re-enter and gain, you know, hit it with a stride. Just go out there and start doing well for yourself because, you know, you can definitely do it. And so we teach them to go be a go-getter.
So when we had you on in June, we spoke with Sherry Boston, who was from the Solicitor General from Decatur County.
That's correct.
And you're still working with her?
Absolutely.
Tell us how.
Still doing the same program. It's called GOALS. And GOALS has been intact for a long time. I've been involved with them since May of last year. And I work with Lisa Moultrie. She's the Assistant Solicitor General who runs the program. Sherry oversees everything. And we're doing the same exact thing. We're reaching kids. We're talking to kids. We're doing whatever we can to try to motivate these kids to become the best versions of themselves. And in working with Sherry, I started working with the judges inside that courthouse too now. We started transitioning into Judge Heidrich's courtroom and her diversion program, which is called Alternative Path. And then we started working with the Superior Court Judge Asha Jackson, who has Project Pinnacle. And so there's been a ton of opportunities to reach people and try to help them stay out of the criminal justice system.
It's pretty amazing because you're a defense attorney and these organizations that you're working with are actually prosecutors, are they not?
That's correct. And the reason why the collaboration is so important is because one of the key things for me growing up was when I didn't understand the system in its totality, I would look at prosecutors, police officers, and judges as all against me. So they need a voice such as myself who's on the other side of the tribunal and comes in and says to them, look, these people can be trusted. They have your best interest. They have this program together so you don't have a record and they can expunge it. We have to work together to fulfill the requirements of this program because they're trying to do this so that you grow personally and that way you can get a job and stay out of the system. And so my position in there is to allow to bridge the gap between the distrust that has been historically between law enforcement and people in the community.
As you experienced yourself.
Yes.
Would you say that most of the kids that you're working with are innately good, that they've just taken a wrong turn? I mean, how would you describe them?
I would say that the people in these environments are some of the most compassionate humans you will ever meet. They understand what it's like to be challenged with not having much, and so they can relate and be sympathetic of people who don't have much. And so these people, generally speaking, will be the type of individuals that will give you the shirt off their back to people that don't know who are in need because they're that compassionate because of their circumstances.
We're speaking with David Windicher. He's a criminal defense attorney. He practices in both Georgia and Florida. He's the managing partner at the Windicher Law Firm, the founder of RED, Inc., an acronym for Rehabilitation Enables Dreams. A short break, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Jason Zapka in for Paul Leary today. You're listening to Topical Currents. We'll hear more of Bonnie Berman's interview with David Windicher in 1 minute. Stay tuned.
St. Thomas University's Gus Machado School of Business announces their new accelerated weekend MBA program, offering a blend of online courses and class meetings held on Saturdays for 9 weeks. You can complete your MBA in just 1 year by taking 2 or 3 courses per 9-week term. Classes begin on March 12. St. Thomas University is dedicated to developing leaders for life for over 50 years. You can learn more about the 1-year MBA at stu.edu/MBA.
Next Generations invites you to meet Mossab Hassan Youssef, whose father founded Hamas and who spied for Israel, on Wednesday, March 30th at Temple Beth El of Boca Raton. Tickets are available at Temple Beth El or online at nextgenerations.org.
The Rhythm Foundation presents Dance Band Night Thursday, March 10th at the Bandshell in Miami Beach, featuring Nathan and the Zydeco Cha-Chas from Lafayette, Louisiana, and dance lessons from Jareen, the Zydeco Queen. Info at northbeachbandshell.com.
And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. I'm Bonnie Berman. We've been speaking with David Lee Windicher. He's a criminal defense attorney licensed to practice in both Georgia and Florida. He's the managing partner of the Windicher Law Firm and the founder of RED, Inc. It's an acronym for Rehabilitation Enables Dreams. And we originally interviewed David back in June of 2015 about his book, The American Dream, His Story, in the Making, a play on the word history. David, welcome back.
Thank you, Bonnie, for having me here. I'm excited.
It's our pleasure. We'll continue our conversation. Now, something happened when we aired this back in June. And joining us in the studio now is the gentleman that was directly affected by the interview and by David's work. His name is Jonathan Saltiel. Hi, Jonathan.
How's it going, Bonnie?
How's it going?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Now, so first tell us how you came to know David. What happened?
At the time, I was in Orlando. I was living in Orlando, and my grandfather gave me a call, and he told me to research this guy. He told me his name, and he told me to go ahead and Google him. And then he was like, he was listening to NPR, and he felt like he had a similar story to mine. So at least I didn't really take heed to it, but I later on Googled him, and then I watched his video on his website, and then I really got interested, so I really started going in and Googling him, trying to find out everything about him. And then I was just really amazed with his story, and I called my grandfather back, and I was like, wow, man, it was like a real uplifting story. So he said, go ahead and give him an email. I was like real skeptic that he would even respond back. So it took me like 3 days to write out an email, just trying to like see how I can catch his attention and actually get him to respond back. So after I finished writing like the longest email of my life, I finally sent it off to him.
Now tell me, why did your grandfather think you would want to meet David? What was going on in your life?
At the moment, I recently had got arrested, and it was just like a low point in my life. And he felt like I needed that because he's seen me. He used to talk to me all the time, and he's seen that I needed like some uplifting, because I just really didn't think after I got arrested that life was really having anything to offer to me at the moment.
So you felt kind of hopeless.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, I felt hopeless at the time.
And did you not see a way out until this happened?
Basically, when you get arrested, especially with the felonies that I had and the people around me, they didn't really know a lot, especially because my family are mostly immigrants. They just basically, after you get arrested, they just, the aura that you was getting around from people was like, basically your life was over.
So, David, you heard from Jonathan, and what happened?
I could immediately relate to his story. I knew that he and I had a lot in common. You could tell that just like I, the statistics were against him. He's an immigrant, he's impoverished, and he was facing felony charges, very serious felony charges, and he was not represented properly by counsel. And so here's a kid who made a mistake due to his circumstances and was able to learn from them, yet the system couldn't help him cope with the situation by trying to adjust to his initiative of rehabilitation, which he did. You could tell in just my conversations with him that he took this very serious. He understood the consequences of this, and he took it upon himself to learn. Very articulate in his email, extremely intelligent. You could tell that given a chance, he could do brilliant things.
So what'd you do?
I started communicating with him on a regular basis just about criminal court proceedings and what to look for and how to communicate with judges and prosecutors. And, you know, he's here in South Florida while I'm in Atlanta, so we would talk over the phone or via email or through text message. And whenever he had a hearing, I would coach him on what to say, and I would teach him on what to do and how to communicate with each individual party inside the system. And he started doing that, and he worked his way up to the trial calendar. And at the trial calendar, he made his own announcements, and then he ended up doing his plea. He announced to the court. He had an attorney. He had a public defender. Interesting story for him, which is what upsets me about the legal system. He hired an attorney, and we're not going to say the names, but he hired an attorney, and he paid 80% of the fee. He was on an installment payment plan, and he paid 80% of the fee. When 80% of the fee was paid, this attorney didn't receive payments for about 3 or 4 months, Jonathan?
Yeah.
And so the attorney filed a motion to withdraw from the case, and the judge let him out of the case. And it's not right. And so Jonathan went underrepresented. He had to scramble. He had to scramble at the end to try to get a public defender to position him to succeed in the process, because he's a first-time offender. There should be some kind of rehabilitation for him. No one stood up for him. No one talked for him. No one did anything for him. And so he had to go and take the initiative himself and argue all this himself.
That's pretty amazing, Jonathan.
Yeah, it was real awakening at the time. It was real scary.
I guess, do you have any dreams about being a lawyer?
At the time when I really was started studying into law, and I seen that how you could personally defend yourself and how all the information you need is right in front of you, I was really thinking about becoming a lawyer.
So where does the case stand now? Where do things stand for you right now?
Jonathan, tell about how, after you took the plea and immigration, tell people about that. You took the plea and then immigration picked you up?
Okay, after I pled to a 4-year probation, and then 3 months into that probation, apparently my probation officer contacted ICE, and then
Meaning immigration.
Immigration. And then I was I got arrested by ICE, and I was detained for them for a while.
And they were going to send you back to Haiti?
They was going to send me back to Haiti. And at that time, I didn't have any money because I spent a lot of money on those two lawyers that I had. And I had to, at that moment, represent myself.
And so what I did was I communicated through the jail phone system with Jonathan, and I explained to him what he needed to argue, the legal points and the moral issues at play. And Jonathan is extremely intelligent to the point where he could grasp what we were talking about and present it and apply it to his own circumstance in court. And he did this pro se in immigration court. And Jonathan, tell him what happened.
After I pled my case in court and represented myself, the lawyer told me that after I finished my whole statement, he told me that I did a better job than most of the lawyers in there.
Right, he's saying the judge told you this, right?
Yeah, the judge himself told me that.
So then this is no longer a threat that you're going to be deported?
I'm actually released on bond, so I have to just change my immigration status in America for me to stay.
So if he does the appropriate things now, he'll get to stay here with his family. He'll get to live the life that he sees. And of course, he's got the felony conviction, but I have 13 arrests and 8 months incarcerated, and I became an attorney. And he has the aspirations to do it. And now obviously, a judge thinks that he can do it. I know he can do it. It's just a matter of overcoming the things that are related to his probation now and in the future, getting him situated.
So you're ready to do all the things that it's going to take?
Yes, very much so.
How do you feel now in terms of hope? Do you have hope now?
I have a lot of hope because at that moment of my life, I felt like nothing was possible. But when you see it with your actual eyes, that just hope just got rejuvenated in me, and I feel like anything's possible now.
That's a pretty amazing story, David. Tell us more about what Red Ink is doing now.
Red Ink is trying to find more Jonathans. That's what we're doing. We're finding individuals who made a mistake based on their circumstances, who don't see themselves as victims. Because what the goal is try to show these type of individuals that no one has more potential to rise than those who start from the very bottom. You get to climb every rung of the ladder. You learn so much. And what Red Ink is doing is trying to mentor these kids, trying to put them in a position to do that. And now we were able to confirm that we will be having a one-day flag football tournament in the Georgia Dome. And what that tournament is going to be about is raising awareness of how to stop recidivism and keeping kids out of the system. So we're going to generate donations to be applied to stopping recidivism. And the kids that are participating in the program, in the diversion programs, the ones that graduate from the program will get to play in this flag football tournament in the Georgia Dome.
Which is kind of a nice little carrot to dangle, since a lot of them love to play football.
Oh, which
and
kid doesn't?
Especially in an NFL
stadium. NFL stadium. It's going to be a blast.
You know, you said something very important, and it was an important message in your book, and it's an important message I hear from Jonathan, which is that you always took complete responsibility for your actions. They were choices you made to do wrong, choices you made to turn your life around.
That's correct.
And you said the same thing.
Yes, and the problem is when you grow up with these kind of circumstances, it's easy to become bitter and upset about them and have a negative disposition, mm-hmm. and that negativity leads you to making bad decision-making. At the end of the day, you are the one making the decision. So if you can change your negative disposition to start to think positive and just show up and fight and do whatever it takes to escalate your status, you'll start reaping the rewards. It won't happen tomorrow. It won't happen the next day. It won't happen after the weekend. But it'll take consistent effort in doing this, and you'll start seeing the change, and you'll get where you want to go.
Well, it took you a long time and a lot of perseverance and a lot of, you never blamed anybody. You never said it was anyone else's fault, which is very important.
Yeah, I feel like it does take a long time to change, but I realized that it took a long time as well to make those bad decisions because I spent years in that neighborhood. I spent years listening to the wrong things, listening to the wrong people. So those actions might have been one day, but it took years to develop, and it's going to take years to change as well in my life.
David, there's some more things going on with your work. Tell us about it.
one of the things that has been unprecedented is the amount of letters that I am receiving from lifers, people in prison doing the rest of their life inside a cell. And the people serving this time are reaching out to me and saying, hey, what can we do to help you find individuals like us and turn them into men like you and not like men wow. like us?
How do they find you?
They read the story through the newspaper, or some judges will talk to them about it. I have no idea, because I'm getting letters from everywhere. And these people are just pouring their heart out to me saying, please, please, I've learned. I've been in here for 20 years. What can I do to help the next kid not be in here with me and out there working as a lawyer or judge or police or whatever it is that they can be like you?
And what do you write to them? What do you say to them?
I'm trying to figure out how I can use their testimony and use their desire to help me. I'm working through that now, because there's going to be some complications with their involvement based on what they're doing. So I need to get creative with it. I'm working through those things now. The next time you see me, I'll have some kind of answer for you about how they're helping.
Okay. And the next time I see you, The American Dream, His Story in the Making, might be a movie. Is that right?
That's correct. We do have a shopping agreement with the Tyler Perry Studios. William Morris Agency from California has contacted us. There is a lot of interest in putting this on film, and I'm extremely excited about that, because just like that movie that recently came out, Straight Outta Compton, the story is real, and I think that kids will see it and say, hey, if he did it, I can do it too, and that's the goal.
And who do you want to play you?
Well, one of the things we talked about was Jake Gyllenhaal or Ryan Gosling. I don't know. I mean, I'm okay with it, as long as I get to get a part in a movie or some fighting scene or something like that.
Okay, David. Well, I want to thank both of you for being with us today. Jonathan Santil, good luck to you, and I'm glad things are looking up in your life.
Thank you very much.
David Windicher, he is a criminal defense attorney. He is licensed to practice in both Georgia and Florida. He's the managing partner at the Windicher Law Firm and the founder of RED, Inc., an acronym for Rehabilitation Enables Dreams. David's book is The American Dream, His Story in the Making. And we interviewed David on June 22nd, 2015, if you'd like to listen back to that interview. David Lee Windicher, I'm so happy to hear of all the progress that you're making, that RED, Inc. is making, and the work you're doing. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Bonnie. You guys have been a blessing. You helped me enlarge my territory, and I'm grateful to get the testimony out there, because we are making an impact, and we couldn't do it without you and WLRN, and just grateful to be here with you guys today.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The first ballet company to perform in the White House, the first to appear on television, the first to appear on the cover of Time magazine, the Kravis Center presents Chicago's powerhouse, the Joffrey Ballet, Saturday, March 12th at 8 p.m. The Joffrey takes on everything from the classics to the cutting edge. The Joffrey Ballet, Saturday, March 12th at the Kravis Center. Tickets at kravis.org or 561-832-SHOW.
Conserve Art restored and framed a painting a client found while cleaning out her mother's condo after she passed. Cleaning revealed that the painting was a signed Renoir. You can restore your treasures too. Insurance claims are a specialty. Details at conserveart.net.
Congregation B'nai Israel of Boca Raton hosts Jewish rock stars Neshama Karlbach and Josh Nelson in their only South Florida concert appearance on Saturday, March 12th, featuring a ticket holder only wine and cheese reception at 7 p.m. Tickets at cbiboca.org.
We're funded by WLRN members and the University of Miami Online, offering online master's degrees including public administration, MBA, finance, accounting, and sport administration. Scholarships available. Information at miami.edu/online.
And welcome back to Tuesday's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with you. Joseph Cooper is off today. For many, a day at the beach is mere sun and fun, something easily taken for granted. For others, it can be a life-altering event. Today, we learn more about the annual Boating and Beach Bash for people with disabilities. Organized by the American Disabilities Foundation, the event is now celebrating its eighth year. It's the nation's largest annual free event for kids and adults with physical and/or intellectual challenges. Joining us now is Jay Van Vechten. He's the founder of the Beach Bash and the executive director of the American Disabilities Foundation, Inc. Welcome, Jay Van Vechten.
Hello, Bonnie Berman. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm terrific, thank you, and very excited about this weekend.
Well, I'm sure it sounds like it's going to be quite an event, and we're going to talk all about it. But would you tell us a little about your background first and what drew you to become so involved with and an advocate for people with disabilities?
Well, I spent my life in public relations. I had a sizable agency in Manhattan. I eventually opened an office down here in Florida. And then in 2001, I had a slip and fall in a hotel bathroom out in California, and it changed my life in literally 1 second. And I did a lot of spinal damage. I damaged my hips, both of which had to be replaced. I broke both knees in 1 second, and my life just flashed before me, and I realized this is going to be a game changer. And I spent a couple of years in the wheelchairs. I had operations. And I use a walker today, and thank goodness I have that mobility. But I had to reexamine my whole life, and I was in my mid-50s, and what am I going to do at this point? I decided to pursue the disability community because I felt I could make a difference. And it's been a ball. I love it, and I know we are making a difference. We got this event off the ground in 2009, I guess. We started the efforts in 2008. And I just became very focused on this as a tool that would be good for me to work on, something I could do with my wife from home, and we run it as a couple with amazing support.
The Boating and Beach Bash. Now, let me ask you, was this your, did you just implement it, or was this actually your creation?
Well, it's an interesting combination. I was sitting on the city's Disability Advisory Board for a number of years after my accident, and they had had a small picnic every year at the park because the city of Boca Raton gives free access to city parks 1 day a year in March. But I went to the event, and it was only for a very limited group of people who lived in group homes, actually. And I said, we can do more with this. And so I went to a local yacht club, Royal Palm Yacht and Country Club, and I said, can you guys give me some boats? And then I went to Shake a Leg in Miami, down by you, and Harry Horgan said, we'd love to help.
Right.
And we added boats, and we changed it to the Boating and Beach Bash for people with disabilities.
Well, go ahead.
No, the first year, 350 people showed up, and we were high-fiving it. There had only been about 75 or 80 in previous years, and that first morning, I'm standing in the park, and I see them coming towards me in wheelchairs, on walkers, with seeing-eye dogs, children with Down syndrome. It was remarkable. And the next year, we doubled to 750, and then we shot up to 1,500. And then the city said, this is getting too big for us. It's too labor-intensive. We can't continue to do that, but we'll give you the park. So with that, I said, I can do this. And I got a group of friends together, and we took it over. And the next year, we doubled it from 2,200 to 4,400. Mm. And then we're sliding up between 5,000 and 6,000 now every year. But we also took it out of Boca, Bonnie. We reached down to Miami, up to Martin County, Broward County. We threw the doors open and said, come, wounded warriors, kids, teens, adults, anybody with a disability with their caregivers and families is welcome at this event. It's now the largest free fun day in the United States for people with special needs.
Well, so, let's just say that it is the 8th annual Boating and Beach Bash for people with disabilities. It is this Saturday, March 12th, and the location from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and where is it?
It's on State Road A1A along the ocean in a beautiful park called Spanish River Park, and anybody can Google it for directions. We do provide directions on our website, very specific. So whether you're coming north, south, east, or west, Turnpike, I-95, US 1, we have all those options to look at how you get to the park.
And the website is boatingbeachbash.com, correct?
It is. It is indeed.
Jay, you talked about the amazing growth of the participants over the year. Talk about the growth of the volunteer sector and their participation and all the how the activities have also grown.
Bonnie, it becomes very emotional when you see who's there every year. But our initial helpers came out of Boca Raton High School. Our son was there, enrolled in the Junior Navy ROTC program, and he brought a bunch of cadets the first year. And they helped us hang signs and do a lot of the heavy lifting of cases of water. And now the school has become a real partner. So we get many, many students, juniors, seniors, coming over to help. And then the college kids started coming from Florida Atlantic University and Lynn University and Nova Southeastern and even up in Palm Beach Atlantic University. They began jumping in. Then local civic clubs and businesses and the junior league. And every age range, we have people in their 80s on the food line helping open hot dog buns and serve people. It's touched a lot of hearts. And we run between 400 and 500 volunteers now every year. McDonald's feeds everybody a good hearty breakfast in the morning with bagels and yogurt parfaits and fresh fruit and juice and coffee. So we get them off and running really early, 7, 7:30. And then our guests who are due there at 10 start arriving at 9 looking for lunch. So we fire up the grills nice and early, and we're turning out hamburgers and hot dogs and chips, and Pepsi is doing all our beverages this year. So it's been remarkable to see that level of support.
Also, talk about, I mean, things that are going to happen this Saturday in terms of the activities. Tell us about the Mind, Body, and Spirit Center.
We have a pavilion that is called simply the Mind, Body, Spirit Center, and it's going to be staffed by a half a dozen professional yoga masters who will be teaching meditation and yoga as ways to cope with having a disability. For many people, it's pain, living with pain. And through meditation and expanding their physical abilities through stretching, we're going to help them cope with their discomfort.
Well, explain also, I mean, just logistically, how those in wheelchairs or with canes or crutches or walkers, how do they access the beach? How is it done?
Well, we have a gorgeous park to begin with. It's probably one of the prettiest parks along the entire coast. And we have a tunnel that goes right under State Road 81A, right out to the sand. And the city of Boca Raton has provided us this year with something called mobility maps. And these are wide mesh panels that roll across the sand and unfold, and they make the sand accessible. So anybody in a wheelchair, on a walker, with any kind of mobility issue will be able to walk right down to the water's edge. And when they get to the water, we've got the aquatics team from the YMCA, all lifeguards helping them. We've got a group called Dive Heart, which is going to show people in wheelchairs that you can actually go scuba diving, and we're the ones to take you, Dive Heart. Further up the beach, Memorial Hospital out of Hollywood and Pinecrest Rehabilitation, part of Delray Medical Center, will be doing all sorts of games on the beach. We've even made, and I just got the call this morning, a giant sandbox on legs. It's the size of a ping pong table. We're filling it with seashells and gold coins, and kids in wheelchairs will be able to roll right up to this and have the experience of playing in the sand and building sandcastles and finding treasures. Inside the park, when you go back through that tunnel, we've got an all-day concert on stage with a half a dozen performing artists. We're cooking up 5,000 meals. We've got tiny ponies wandering around that people love, their therapy ponies. We've got a dozen, no, actually more, I think like 16 action heroes, Superman, Batman, Cinderella. I mean, they're all there.
Cinderella's an action figure?
Yeah, I think so. She was the first. We have a wonderful kids' fun zone sponsored by Joe DiMaggio this year, Children's Hospital, and so many games and activities that, you know, whether you're in your wheelchair or you have mobility or a lot of children with Down syndrome, it's puzzles and games that they can play tabletop. And that's right down by the boats. And the boats, we've got at least 20 wonderful yachts now. Most of them come out of Royal Palm Yacht and Country Club. We have 30 active Coast Guard on the dock helping people on and off the boats. Four of the boats have drop-down fronts, so wheelchairs can roll right on board. Mm. It's pretty amazing to see.
It really is.
We have two DJ booths scattered in the park, both run by children with cerebral palsy, and they're good. They are so good. They rock the park. Boca Hospital this year has created a wellness center, where we are inviting people to get their blood pressure checked and we're working out with Nova Southeastern Dental School. They'll do dental screenings. So we're bringing a health component into it this year for the first time.
And, really, of course, you have a lot of medical professionals on hand.
Oh, my goodness. We have 150 professional physical therapists, dozens of nurses. We have our own ambulance. I mean, we're ready for anything. And I knock wood as I say this.
Yeah, I hope you don't need it.
I hope we don't need it. We have done very well for the last 7 years. One person had a seizure, and he wasn't a guest. He was a volunteer, and he hadn't eaten all day. So we took care of that. We've been very, very lucky in that respect.
We're speaking with Jay Van Vechten. He's executive director of the American Disabilities Foundation. And he is the chairman for the City of Boca Raton's Advisory Board for People with Disabilities. We're talking about the 8th Annual Boating and Beach Bash for People with Disabilities, which is this Saturday. A short break. We'll be right back.
And Topical Currents returns in just a moment here on 91.3 WLRN. Stay with us.
1 in 7 men will be affected by prostate cancer in his lifetime. The Bethesda Center for Advanced Robotics and Urologic Care is helping patients beat the odds. Internationally acclaimed urologic surgeon Dr. Raymond Levely performs minimally invasive and robotic-assisted surgeries to treat prostate cancer, kidney cancer, and urinary obstructions, as well as kidney stones. Bethesda Center for Advanced Robotics and Urologic Care, helping patients return to living full and productive lives. More online at BethesdaWeb.com/advancedrobotics.
School for Advanced Studies, SAS, is a nationally recognized collegiate high school of excellence for 11th and 12th graders, conveniently located at Miami-Dade College's Homestead, Kendall, North, and Wolfson campuses. Most SAS graduates earn an Associate in Arts and high school diploma concurrently. SAS has been recognized by Newsweek, The Washington Post, and U.S. News & World Report, and is top-ranked in Florida by Niche.com. Applications are accepted early during students' 10th grade year of high school. Information at sas.dadeschools.net.
Coppelia, considered a timeless favorite of dancers and audiences alike, will be presented by Arts Ballet Theater on March 12th and 13th at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. Tickets available at browardcenter.org, funded in part by Broward Cultural Division.
Says You joins WLRN in Sunrise, Florida for two live shows, Saturday and Sunday, March 19th and 20th. Details and tickets online at saysyou.net.
Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman visiting with Jay Van Vechten, Executive Director of the American Disabilities Foundation, created the first annual Boca Raton-based Boating and Beach Bash for People with Disabilities in 2009. And this will be the 8th annual. It's the Boating and Beach Bash for People with Disabilities Saturday. It's this Saturday, 10 to 3 p.m. in the Spanish River Park on A1A in Boca Raton. Welcome back, Jay Van Vechten.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. I want to mention that this event happens because of the generosity of people in the community. That's what I love about it. We're very grassroots. Our funding comes from our neighbors, our friends, several foundations, including the Sylvester family, who built the Sylvester Cancer Center down in Miami. Mm-hmm. They're our primary supporters, but we also have TD Bank as a huge supporter, and we welcome the corporate side of it. But I love when we get the small donations from people who I know probably don't give to a lot of things because they can't afford it, and we'll get $12 donations online, and it touches my heart.
Do the donations go to the American Disabilities Foundation?
Yes. All funds are channeled through that. All bills are paid through that, and yeah, that's how we keep it all straight and square.
I want to just open the phones in case you're interested to ask Jay Van Vechten a question about this Saturday's Boating and Beach Bash. The number is 1-800-743-9576, 1-800-743-9576. Email is radio@wlrn.org. I want to just go back to the medical side of this for a second. What are these vial of life forms?
Oh, they're wonderful. Boca Hospital is supplying these, and it's a magnetized little folder that goes on the side of a refrigerator. We'll have nurses there helping people fill them out with their family members, and it puts all the person's vital information and their blood pressure, which we'll do that day. but also their medications that they take, their pre-existing conditions. And what you do is you put this on your refrigerator, and then a sticker goes on your front door. So if paramedics are called, they know to go, they're familiar with this program, they know to go right to the refrigerator, and there's everything that they need to begin treating immediately. Very helpful.
Yeah, I would guess. We have an emailer. Rick wants to know if the Beach Bash is in need of boat owner volunteers.
I think we're in pretty good shape. We got our last two boats yesterday. My favorite call ever, Bonnie, was 3 years ago. Somebody called blindly and said, I'd like to offer my boat. I said, great. And then I said, how big is it? He said, it's 93 feet.
Oh, my.
And I said, you know, we have a little marina. He said, well, I have a smaller one. It's 46 feet. So we said, no, we're kind of staying in the 30 to 42-foot range. That's our favorite range.
Well, thank you, Rick, for writing in. You know, as I was preparing for this program, I couldn't help but think that this is a great opportunity for lots of people, but I also wondered if there were more of these opportunities year-round for disabled in South Florida, which is so conducive for the likes of this boating
and
beach bash. Oh,
it's so perfect for it. You know, Bonnie, if I have a long-range vision on this, and I do, it's that we get to replicate it. Anywhere where there's water and marinas and docks and places where people can have a picnic, we would love to duplicate this in other cities, not just in Florida. When you think about America, you know, all of our great cities are on water. So, yeah, this can be duplicated. And we hope as we grow and we get more donations that we will be able to, in fact, create more activities during the year because we have an amazing database. And I had one call this morning from a woman who's representing six group homes, and they're bringing 40 people from there. So whether people are intellectually challenged or have physical challenges, we're open to everybody.
And it can be any age, correct?
Any age. Little kids. I see kids 2 years old in wheelchairs. I see people 90 years old in wheelchairs. We have a lot of World War II veterans who join us every year. They even have their own tent. We have about 35 exhibitors every year, and that's 350 feet of exhibit space, and every one of them has a goods or service offer for our attendees. So you can pick up all kinds of great information, make new connections. And my favorite little story on that happened last year when a group called Gift of Life, they do bone marrow, had to really think about joining us, but they said, look, if we can sign up one person to be a bone marrow donor, we will be happy. They signed up 47 people, which I think it's just the spirit of the day. People want to help people.
I also hear the Boca Ballet.
Yes.
Theater.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
The Boca Ballet is coming in this year, and they started a program 2 years ago at their facility, but they're bringing it over to the Bash on Saturday, and they will be teaching dancing to people with Parkinson's. And, of course, the participants need to have a partner with them, but they have found that by dancing, people with neuromuscular challenges can increase their range of motion, their self-confidence, their attitude. It's very helpful. So several times during the day, we'll be focusing on that right on the main stage, and I know other people will join in as well. It'll be fun for everybody.
Right, because other people with either MS or, I mean, other people are welcome to take the lessons, the dance steps.
Yeah, you know, muscular dystrophy, MS, Parkinson's, and there are many categories of neuromuscular challenges, but even people in the early stages of ALS can learn from this day and improve their day-to-day life through it.
I read that this was in something of the material. 20% of all Americans have a disability, seen or unseen. In Palm Beach County, that number climbs to 25% of all men, women, and children.
Isn't that stunning?
Yes, and 50% of Americans are touched by disabilities within their families or among friends and colleagues.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. No, but I also have to point out that we really emphasize that disabilities are seen or unseen. So I know people get upset when they see someone with a disability tag taking a disability spot, and they get out of the car and walk in the store. You don't know what that person is dealing with. You don't know. And that's what we say, disabilities come in every size, shape, and form, and are often unseen. Where we get upset if it's grandma's car and it's a kid home from college.
Right, exactly.
That spot.
That's different. It's actually illegal.
Yes. Oh, very much illegal. And yeah. It's a $250 fine. But speaking of parking, we have wonderful parking at the event. And we have trolleys and golf carts. So once somebody gets out of their car, they can get right in the golf cart. And we bring them right to registration. So we make it easy for them.
Give all the important information again for those interested in going.
All right. It's totally free. It starts at 10 a.m. At Spanish River Park on State Road A1A along the ocean in Boca Raton. We have directions on our website at boatingbeachbash.com. So no matter whether you're taking the Turnpike or I-95, US 1, whatever, we will bring you there, north, south, east, or west. Very clear directions to the site. The event goes till 3, and there are activities all day long. The barbecue is going all day, so people can have lunch early or late. And we have picnic tables everywhere. We have professional storytellers going from table to table, telling little tales. Ronald McDonald's there doing his tricks, giving out toys. We have photo booths. TD Bank is doing a wonderful photo booth for free, taking people's family photographs. So, yes, there's something for everybody.
And again, that's 3001 State Road A1A in Boca Raton.
I never remember that number, Bonnie. Thank you.
That's an easy one.
Pulling it out of the air.
Because I just thought of 2001 and...
Yeah, I know.
A Space Odyssey. Here's 3001.
Yeah, I have a little bit of dyslexia myself, so I might turn it into 30,001, but 3001. Thank you.
Right. Well, Jay Van Vechten is Executive Director of the American Disabilities Foundation, Inc. He's a communications practitioner, disability advocate, activist, and educator. And he created the first annual Boca Raton-based Boating and Beach Bash for people with disabilities about 8 years ago. He's chairman for the City of Boca Raton's Advisory Board for People with Disabilities. And again, the website?
www.boatingbeachbash.com. And if any of your listeners want to volunteer, we have a cutoff this Thursday night, but we're still accepting volunteers.
Okay, great.
And there's a link right on there. They can sign up.
Okay, yep. Very good. Well, I wish you the best with it, and thank you for all the good things you're doing.
And Bonnie, they can also donate on that same website.
I bet. Okay, thanks so much, Jay Van
Vechten. Thank you so very much.
You're so welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And thank you for tuning in. Our Boating and Beach Bash segment was produced by Polly Landis. Our lead producer is Richard Ives, with technical direction from Jason Zapka. Our online producer is Paul Leary. You can visit our website, WLRN.org, to find free audio archives and downloads. Tomorrow at 1, it's live coverage of the Miami-Dade monthly school board meeting. Joe and I return Thursday with an interview with acclaimed author Edwige Danticat, as well as Linda Gassenheimer. Bonnie Berman wishing you a great day, here and now, up next.